A new series we're starting. There were some study notes on the back there. It's not possible to get everything in there that I want to say, so you got some of the stuff. But we're going to be looking at the life and times of Moses. We're going to look at the early years of Moses, and the Bible really covers from the birth until the death of Moses. Moses was born in the land of Goshen, which would have been Lower Egypt, and according to Bishop Usher, that would have been about 1571 B.C., and he died around 1451 B.C. on Mount Nebo, which would have been in Jordan. I've been on Mount Nebo. It's interesting to look out over the Promised Land as you stand at the top of Mount Nebo there and look across it. And I understand that there's some different people who have different ideas about the date of Moses. I'm just giving you one of the common ones. I'd like you to look as we begin to see what it was like when Moses was born. So if you'll turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. And it's beginning at verse 6. We'll read some along there. It says, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation." Verse 2 of Exodus 1, "And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land," Egypt, "the land was filled with them." Now Exodus 1:8. "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when we are fallen out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh the treasure cities of Pithom and Ramses." It says, "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field and all services wherewith they made them serve," it says, "and with rigor." And then we'll talk about the rest. He gives a decree to kill all the male children. So you have in your study notes a very interesting thing I've laid out for you there, the family tree of Moses. Amram, which was Moses' father, and you can see that Amram is of the tribe of Levi. If you look on the right-hand side, there was Levi, Kohath, and then Amram. So Amram was the son of Kohath. And so Jochebed was Moses' mother. If you look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "There went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife of a daughter of Levi." Now you need to see that Levi's daughter was Jochebed. So what I'm telling you is that what you see here is that Amram married his aunt. Amram married his aunt. Because you can see that there. Now, I want to tell you something like that, because it says in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, "And Amram took him, Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife." Okay, that would make her aunt. "And she bare him Aaron and Moses, And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. Now, here's the point. I don't want you to get all freaked out about that. This is pre-law. And it wasn't until after God gave Moses the law that there was a prohibition of marrying close relatives. That was at the time of the law. You know who Cain took as his wife? It would have been one of his sisters. So the gene pool wasn't polluted back then, and it was perfectly all right to be able to do that. There wasn't doing anything wrong. It would not have been looked at as incest back then, because the law didn't come on until later. Looking at Numbers chapter 26:59, it tells us that Jochebed was the daughter of Levi, and she married Amram, and they had three children. There was Aaron and Miriam, and then the youngest was Moses. The youngest was Moses. Now, it is interesting. This isn't from the Bible here, but they believe, because of Hebrew commentaries of the rabbi, that Miriam was the oldest. Now, again, this isn't biblical, but they believe that that Miriam, the oldest, was 3 years older than Aaron, and then that would make her 6 years older than Moses. So you kind of get a flavor there. And that, again, is according to the Midrash, an ancient commentary on the Old Testament by the rabbis. Now, Moses was born at the time of, as we read in chapter 1, there was a huge worry by the Egyptians because when Joseph had come into the land, remember, his brothers sold him into slavery, and he was purchased by an Egyptian whose name was Potiphar, and he was a good worker, but the wife accused Joseph of trying to molest her, and so he was thrown in jail. But ultimately, it comes out, if you remember the account, he ends up being second in charge in Egypt. That's a real interesting thing, because when there was a famine in Israel, where did they go to get food? They went into Egypt, and Joseph brought his family then into Egypt, and he was well accepted, and they treated him. They treated him nicely. They gave them land for them to be, and so to have, and they just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, and things were good for a time. But then, as we read in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, there was a time that there was a Pharaoh that came to power who knew not Joseph. And he looks at how the Hebrews, and they were more and mightier. He said, we're losing our national identity. Now, I got to stop there just for a minute. If the United States doesn't continue to be married and bear children, and they have to bear more than one child, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be more and mightier of immigrants that come into our nation, like there already is in France, like it's happening in England, like it's happening even in Germany. And now they're beginning to say, the Europeans are saying, we're losing our national identity. So we have some concerns about building the wall and keeping illegal immigrants out. My parents, way back, were immigrants. There's a lot of us who were, but we came in legally, and we then have amalgamated, and it doesn't matter what I am now. I am an American. And yet Pharaoh, he gets all tweaked out, because he said, you know what's going to happen? Our enemies are going to come against us, and then these Israelites are going to join with our enemies, and then guess what? We're going to lose our country. So that is the context of what we see here as we look at all those things that are going on. I'd like to move on now during to the first point, that's all introduction, and talk about the conception of Moses. During times of national turmoil and tragedy, many parents decide not to have children. There are several, United States has several people said, I don't know whether I want to bring children into this world or not. Even though Amram and Jochebed already had two children, they knew that if they had another child, that he would be born into slavery. Because as we read in Exodus chapter 1, they were starting to be very vicious and very tyrannical on the children of Israel. They were having them build treasure cities and having to get their own straw and do their own bricks and everything. They were being very harsh to them. But they decided to have another child anyway. Pharaoh had made a real harsh decree. He said, any Israeli kid who is born that's male, kill him. Throw him in the river. Throw him in the river. You can keep the women. You can keep the women, but throw the men into the river. Kill them. So Amram and Jochebed, they knew about this, and yet I believe that God directed Amram and Jochebed to have a child, and she conceived, and it's very interesting. I believe it's clearly all in God's plan, because Moses ends up being the rescuer, if you would. He ends up being the rescuer of the Israelis and leading them out of their slavery. But there had to be more to it than that. They knew, Amram knew, Jochebed knew, that, boy oh boy, it's a troubled time. So God worked in the hearts of the midwives. It's very interesting. In reading for all of this stuff, some people believe that the midwives were Egyptians. Some people believe that the midwives were the Hebrews. But it's not likely that the midwives were Hebrews, because I don't believe that they would have thrown the kids in the river. So they were likely Egyptians. But the Bible doesn't say. Your speculation is as good as mine. But I do know this. I do know this, that God moved in the hearts of the midwives, whether they were Egyptian or whether they were Hebrew. They feared God and did not, it says in Exodus 1:17, they feared God and did not as the king commanded, but saved the men children alive. Wow. They went against the Pharaoh. In fact, the midwives as a whole did not kill any of the Hebrew male children as they were told to. They were God-fearing midwives. And it's very interesting, when you fear God and you do His will, God intervenes with you. Because if you look at chapter 2, 20 and 21, God protected the midwives, and it says, dealt well with the midwives, and it came to pass, because the midwives, it should say, feared God, He made them houses. Now that's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. And somehow, Pharaoh didn't counteract that. Pharaoh didn't imprison them. He allowed them to be made houses and took care of them. And I can see God's hand in this whole thing. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, you know, when the Lord directs you to do something, you need to do it. Don't second guess it. Follow the Lord, and He will direct your path. So we have Moses' conception, and then we have Moses' concealing. Let's look all the way back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, or you can look at the notes there. But it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith. And that's the faith of Moses' parents. They did not fear the king's command. They knew that God wanted them to have Moses, and when he was born, he was a healthy, beautiful baby boy. They had faith that God had something special in store for their child. The parents concealed Moses 3 months. Now, they came and searched for the baby boys because they did take them and throw them in the river. The soldiers did. They came and searched for baby boys. But can you imagine? You would have to be, you didn't want this baby crying out, or the neighbors, if your neighbors were Egyptian or something like that, and they heard the baby crying out, and they see the baby out in the open for 3 months. For 3 months, they hide and went to extreme effort to keep him quiet and keep the baby from being known that it was a boy baby in their home. Pharaoh's soldiers would go from house to house looking for the male children. In Exodus 2, verse 3 and 4 says, when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags, the marshy part by the edge of the river, by the river's bank, and his sister stood afar off to wit or know what would be done to him. Now, bulrushes. Lynn and I have been on the Nile River in Egypt, and some of you remember that went with me on the early trip there, that we sat there on the Nile River and we ate, and you could see the Nile River, but what we're talking about is papyrus plants. They grow to be 6 or 8 feet high, and they take the stalks of those and they do two things with them. They split them and they can make paper with them, papyrus paper that a lot of our New Testament was made on. But they also can be dried and make baskets out of them. And so it had to be a good-sized basket, my friends, because a baby of 3 months is 11 to 14 pounds, so it has to be a good-sized basket. And when it says they pitched it and slimed it, she didn't want it sinking. She didn't want the baby drowning. So that made it waterproof as she did that. And then she carefully, when nobody's around, she sticks it in the edge of the Nile in the marshy grounds. Had put Moses in the basket. Certainly there had to be something in there to be able to make the baby comfortable. And in one sense, I want you to think about this. The Pharaoh's decree was the male babies are to be put in the river. Well, Moses was put in the river. However, he was in a basket. He was in a basket. Now, verse 4, if we look at 2 and verse 4, it says here, and his sister stood afar off. If she's about 6 years old, nobody's going to think anything of a 6-year-old playing along by the river. So here's Miriam, and she's playing, and yet she's keeping an eye on it. Even if somebody saw her, they wouldn't think much of anything about a 6-year-old playing around there. And she's spying for mom and dad. They would think something was funny if they saw Jochebed, if they saw Amram looking and looking and watching and watching. But nobody's going to suspect a 6-year-old. Now let's look at the committing of Moses. God's providence is very evident here. Because of the faith of Moses' parents, God particularly intervenes in the situation. As Moses is put in the river and committed to the hands of God, and they knew that they couldn't keep it any. They did for 3 months. They kept it secret, but they knew that it was beyond being able to keep it secret anymore. So they put Moses. They committed Moses to the hand of God and says, God, now it's up to you. Now, it just happens I don't believe that for a minute. What happens if the soldiers were going by there and saw the basket? What happens if another Egyptian goes by? They were under orders that they didn't have to go to the Pharaoh. They could have just drowned the baby themselves. But as we read the account, Pharaoh's daughter needs to take a bath. And she goes with her female entourage. And she goes down by the river. She's going to take a bath. And guess what? We see that God intervenes and she finds Moses. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2, 7 through 10. Then said the sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women?" What's real interesting is, to back up just a little bit, when Pharaoh's daughter finds the basket and she tells her entourage of girls to bring the basket to her, the Bible says in verse 6, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. I mean, right on key. You say, what are you talking about? She recognizes right away, if you read the context, she recognizes right away that it's a Hebrew baby. She knows right away that her dad had said, kill him. And then she sees this cute, because it says he was a goodly child. She sees this cute, healthy baby, and she opens the basket, and the baby goes, wah! And her female instinct says, oh, poor little baby. That's God, my friends. The timing was perfect. She was willing to risk her father's wrath and save the cute little baby. And I can only imagine the joy in Amram and Jochebed's heart when they saw God's hand of preservation in their youngest son. Now, they hadn't evidently named the baby, or if they did name the baby, we don't know what they named the baby, because it was, we'll see in just a minute, it was Pharaoh's daughter that named the baby. So let's go now to the care of Moses. I jumped ahead a little bit. It says, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse for the Hebrew of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go!" And the maiden went and called the child's mother. Now look at verse 9. Talk about God's providence. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me." See, I'm not sure Pharaoh even had any idea that his daughter had found a baby. She sent it right away. There's no indication that she had told Pharaoh at that point. And look at this. Not only does she tell the mother of Moses, of course, she doesn't know it's the mother of Moses, but she says, "I will give thee wages. I'm going to pay you. Take the baby, nurse the baby, and I'm going to pay you." And the woman took the child and nursed it, verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, because Moses means to draw out. It tells you in the rest of the verse. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Moses means to draw out. And in this instance, to draw out of the water. Just at the right time, Miriam appears, gets a Hebrew woman to breastfeed the baby. The woman gets paid, and the woman is his mother. And what a blessing for Moses' mother. So how long did Jochebed nurse Moses? From the historical records, now this is very interesting. She would have kept the baby at least till he was weaned. And in those times, according to historical records and the things that I read, she probably kept the child from 3 to 5 years. Wow, 3 to 5 years. This is a true story. My grandmother told us about it, that When she was rearing my mom, there was a next door neighbor lady, and that she nursed her kid until after kindergarten. Now, that's bizarre to me, but the kid would come home and drag his mother behind the door and want to be nursed. Now, I don't know, but I believe that as they studied this in the context of the times, that Jochebed had 3 to 5 years with her son, and we don't know that for sure, but we know that she nursed him, that she nurtured him, she loved him, she taught him the learning of the Hebrews. And man, oh man, if you think about what you can teach, just think about this, if you can think about what you teach your children in 3 to 5 years, I remember what we were teaching our children from 3 to 5 years. And you'll remember that it was Moses who wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So all they had at this point was the oral tradition. And so no doubt she was teaching him the creation story, the fall, the confusion of Babylon, telling about the early patriarchs of his family, because she was of the tribe of Levi. She taught them the truths about one God and God's working in history. And Moses could walk in two worlds, because I believe that by the time that he was 3, his mother and father would have talked Hebrew. And so when he comes to Pharaoh's daughter, he learns Egyptian, so he can know Hebrew, he can know Egyptian. She probably explained to him the problems that the Hebrews were in the slavery and the rigors that we were in. And so Moses had all those things in his mind. Then the hard day came. Call from the palace, bring Moses here. And so she brings a 3 to a 5 year old young man into the palace. She says goodbye. And yet I am quite sure that her heart was overflowing with the fact that her son was not killed, and she had the opportunity to rear him and nurture him for 3 to 5 years. What a blessing. How we see God's hand moving. I'd like to close with these verses, Acts chapter 7, 21 and 22. And when he was cast out, and that's talking about being put into the river in Acts chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But now look at this. And I think this is pointing to his Hebrew upbringing, and was mighty in words and deeds. So there you have the early life of Moses. Isn't God good? You look at God's hand moving, and all I can say is praise the Lord for 2 Levites, Jochebed and Amram, who trusted the Lord, were people of faith, and God had them to be the parents of Moses, and of course Aaron and Miriam. But Aaron and Miriam weren't under the law where they were to be put to death. They were older children, so that was never, they were never in danger of that. Thank you for coming.